Thank you, Margaret, for reading that passage about this incredible character, Simeon. Simeon, who had the privilege of recognizing that when Jesus was brought into the temple, as was the custom by his parents, he recognized he was none other than the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And he was so delighted, he just burst out in joy and celebration. And he sang that song that we've just read. Now, for one or two of you, you might just be thinking, hang on a minute, didn't we study that not that long ago? Well, yes, we did. About a year ago, actually, it's only relatively recently, in our Advent series on the songs of Advent. And Simeon's song was one of those songs. So why are we looking at this again? Well, we're looking at it because I want to concentrate on one thing specifically that Simeon was doing that is incredibly relevant to what we as a church are doing, that I believe is very much a message from God to us today. He was waiting. He was waiting. And we've been hearing this week as a church what God wanted to say to us about waiting. Well, I want to add a little bit more into that. So my inspiration comes from three sources. One of which I realized I left behind. First, from a reflection by a regional minister that mentioned a single word that really struck home when he was talking about the transition from one year to a new year. Second, from a reflection from Maggie Dawn. As a church, we've been following the Maggie Dawn book on Lent. Well, it's not from her Lent reflections, which were awesome. It is from these Advent reflections that Lorinda and I have been using. And we were both struck like a train hitting you when we read what she said about waiting in this particular reflection. And thirdly, the inspiration is you. Because I have observed how so many of you struggle to cope with the requirement for God for waiting. And it's in response to all of those things that I believe he's put this very much on my heart. See, scripture is full of examples of God's people waiting, having to wait, often being specifically called to wait on him for what he wanted to say. Let me give you a few examples of people, first of all. Jesus. Do you realize Jesus had to wait? From that moment at his baptism in the River Jordan, when God said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased," he didn't just begin his ministry straight away. There was a period of waiting. It was in the desert, and it was a time of testing. Noah, remember him? He's the guy with the boat. Noah had to wait. He had to wait while the waters rose and did their work. And then he waited while the waters receded, waiting. There was Moses. He went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. Entered the mountain and he entered a cloud. Do you know that he waited? He had to wait for 7 days before God even spoke to him. Waited while he was in the presence of God. And then the Apostle Paul. Saul had his conversion experience. He was going to become the apostle to the Gentiles, but not before a period of waiting, years away, learning, training, experiencing. They're just people. Then the church has its periods of waiting. Do you know that there are 9 days of waiting between ascension, when Jesus went up to heaven, and Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came? Jesus said to his disciples, "Go to Jerusalem and wait." Funny. He didn't say how long to wait. He didn't give them details about what would happen when they get there. Thank goodness that they probably freaked out. He just said, "Wait." Lent. waiting, or as Maggie Dawn puts it, perhaps not so much waiting for as waiting on the Lord. Putting life's distractions aside while we wait on the Lord in reflection, in devotion, ensuring that by the time we get to Easter, we realize the cost to the sinless Son of God of what he'd done. Preparing. In Lent, there's that waiting sense, isn't there, of us being in the wilderness, as we put aside some of life's luxuries, some of life's norms, so that we can more clearly draw closer to God in the period. How did you do last year with Lent? Well, if you struggled a little bit, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do a more meaningful journey through Lent this year, I trust. And then, of course, there's Advent, the best known of our waiting periods as a church. Two elements to this. And in both of them, there is this sense of waiting in hope and anticipation for God to do what God promised he would do. It's coming, but wait, wait, it's coming. Hope, anticipation. One of them is the sense of us waiting for the Lord to come again, the second coming. Jesus promised, John, Revelation 21, I will come again. And there's that sense of waiting. But the other sense that we thought about particularly in the last few weeks is the waiting for the coming of the Messiah, of Jesus to come. The Christ child, the Savior of the world. And that came, of course, as a response to what the promises made to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through the prophets. I will come. Yes, I know you're in a mess. Yes, I know you're not handling this stuff, but I've got a solution. The Savior is coming. And then waiting for the people who are involved. You all know the story, Nativity, Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, Zechariah, they all had to wait for the things to fall into place. And then there's this wonderful character, Simeon. God bless him. Advent waiting for Simeon, waiting for God to break into the world. Emmanuel, God with us. Could the world ever have a more stunning gift than God enters it? And he was waiting for that moment specifically. But the wonderful lesson for us today, I believe, that Simeon teaches us is that his waiting, are you ready for this? Was not a passive waiting. What do I mean by that? Passive waiting. He didn't do nothing. He didn't put his feet up. It was active waiting. He was longing. He was aching. He was searching. He was reaching out to God. He was seeking in his waiting. People for centuries have been waiting for this moment. And Simeon, similarly, for such a long time, but he's been doing so on alert. God had said to him, you won't die before this event comes to pass. And he's holding on to this. And when the baby was brought into the temple and he saw him, he just burst into joy and he sang his song and he rejoiced and saying, now I've seen it. Now you can take me. Which is why the church has been singing a song for the last couple of millennia, Nunc Dimittis. It comes from the Latin, now dismiss. The Anglican church will often sing that song, dismiss me, I've seen it. Does that ring any bells for anybody? And did we also think about this just before Christmas? Think of someone else who had a similar experience. Third Sunday in Advent, John the Baptist was who we were thinking about. And John the Baptist had a similar experience. What did John have? He had one thing God had given him in life to do, to prepare the way. It was his one mission. And when he saw Jesus coming, he knew his day had come. That was it. But what was his reaction? It wasn't, oh no, I'm out of a job. Now what am I going to do? Instead, it was rejoicing. My joy is complete, is what he said, as he saw Jesus coming towards him. He actually told his disciples, stop following me, go and follow him now. Do you know, he would very soon be arrested, he'd be imprisoned, and they would kill him. But he was full of joy. Why? Because in this period of waiting, he'd done what God had asked him to do. And he was full of joy because his aching, his longing for what was about to happen was now happening. I'm getting ahead of my own. I've been talking so much, I've not been keeping my notes going up with me. John the Baptist and Simeon had the same appreciation of this waiting period. Both of them were longing. So both of them could come to rejoicing when the event happened. And in the process, both of them sought the Lord. They were asking the Lord. And I just wonder what life might have been like for Simeon. Every day asking the day, is this it, Lord? Is this the day? Every day, maybe a woman walked in with a baby in her arms and came in and just slips through the door. And he's just wondering, is she coming to the temple? Could this be the day? Asking, Lord, is this the child? I wonder what was going through his mind. Here's the point. Simeon sought his God. He engaged with God. And he was moved by the Spirit to spend time in the temple courts, actively seeking, waiting. John the Baptist, waiting, actively preparing for the coming day. Jesus in the wilderness. He didn't put his feet up and sit in a cave, find some shelter. He was active preparing. He was tested. Paul, he spent years not resting, doing nothing, but seeking, listening, learning, growing. Why were they all doing these things in the waiting? Because there is God-given purpose in the waiting. And I just realised that those who are relatively new and visiting us today probably don't quite understand the sheer context of this for us as a church. That 2 years ago, God said to us, stop your busyness, because we were doing lots of stuff. He said, stop and wait on me. Wait. And we've been in a 2 year period of waiting. But this is a God-given time and purpose. Which brings me to the other reflection from Nick Lear, his word. I need to tell you, Nick Lear used to be a lawyer. So he uses big words. Strap yourself in. There's only one of them you're going to get. But my goodness, is this important. And I hope it will bless you. He spoke about liminal spaces. Have you heard of those? No. Liminal spaces. It comes from the Latin limen, not lemon, limen, which means threshold. It means doorway. It's a space or a point of entering or beginning. Bear with me. I hope this will more than make sense. A big light bulb's going to go on in a bit. A liminal space is a moment between what was and what is to come. Yeah? What was and what is to come. Let me give you a few examples. A hallway, an entranceway. Out there, underneath the clock, that is an entranceway. That's a liminal space. Because it's between what was out there before you came in and here when you entered into it. You might have a hallway at home, and in that space you come from what was before, and you come in, and maybe that's the space where you take your coat off and your shoes and you hang your umbrella up and let the water drip off before you go into the next space. A stairwell is a liminal space. Nobody goes from downstairs to upstairs just like that. You have to go up the stairs. It's a place with a purpose. But please hear this about this liminal space. It is not a place to be ignored, treated as inconvenient, or rushed through at the fastest possible speed. It's a place in its own right. And a place of waiting is a liminal space. Let me give you another example. I was trying to think what will help, what will make some sense to you and to us as a church. And I thought of an A&E department. An A&E department is a liminal space between what was life in all its norm before you hit your crisis, before something happened that caused life to be turned upside down. Then there's A&E that comes before what will come, which hopefully is a beautifully warm, comfortable bed, great nursing, medication, all the right treatment, and hopefully even better than that, dismissal and an opportunity to go home. But in the middle is this space where important things happen. You can't just rush through it, however much you might want to. It's an A&E department. It can be a physical space. It can be an emotional space. It could be a spiritual space, and it can be a space of time. I'll give you an example of an emotional space. A liminal space could be a space between when a relationship breaks up and when perhaps a divorce or something occurs that allows that relationship of that person to go on in life. That would be a liminal space. A liminal space might be the time between when a point when someone dies and the funeral takes place, between what was normal before and when something can happen. That's a liminal space. When God calls you to stop your busyness and all that was normal beforehand, before he sets you on your way to do different things, that's a liminal space. Does that make sense? Am I getting there? Good. Enough people nodding. I'm encouraged. Often, Christmas to you, New Year feels like a criminal space. Yeah. Freudian slip. Can sound like a liminal space. Lent is a liminal space. This Christian life is actually a liminal space. Between where Jesus stepped into this world and what was before ended, and when he will come back and we will be permanently, eternally in glory with him. This is a liminal space. Let me tell you something else about a liminal space. It's not a comfortable place to be, usually. And if you're not sure about that, go and stand in your hallway and spend an hour there, or a stairwell. You tell me it's a comfortable place. It's a place you pass through. Are we coming to some of the problems that we experience as a church with our waiting for God? Here's something else about this liminal space that is, however, really important, and I pray this will encourage you. It is a place of uncertainty, but it involves waiting patiently. Sorry, Lord, I know you're smiling at this point. We're not good at waiting patiently, but it is that place. But it's a place where there is hope. It is a place of possibilities where that we can be transformed. It is a place where potential is discovered, where creativity is unleashed. It is a place where those things can happen because nothing is fixed. Everything's movable, and God can put the pieces into place. That's why it's unsettling for us. That's why we don't like being in it. That's why we want to get out as quickly as we can. but it's a place where God does his thing. Because things are not fixed, because we're not distracted by the stuff of the world, including the routines that we often call religious routines. That's why God called us to stop our busyness, I believe. It is a place of transformation where God does his transforming work, his testing work, his growing work, so that we are ready for what is next to come. I'm going to give you one more example that I hope will make some sense to you about a liminal space. Pregnancy is a liminal space. When we were first getting to this point of stopping, a group of us were praying constantly. Week by week, we came and we shared, and God gave us a picture. And the picture was of a pregnant woman. The pictures on the wall at the back was some of the story of this 2 years, if you want to see what that's about. And it was an image of what's happening, and this is us in our waiting. It is a time that invites us to look at this space expectantly. Pregnancy is not dead time. It is active time. It is growing time. It is developing time. It is transforming time, because God is at work. But in that, he asks us to pay attention to what's going on. Because the focus needs to be towards what he's doing in it. And yes, it's uncomfortable, as those of you who've given birth will probably know well. It is not business as normal. It requires your involvement, waiting to see what will be. And it involves looking after yourself, eating well, drinking well, spending time away from overexertion. Expectant parents do their bit during this time. And meanwhile, while we're taking our responsibility seriously, God is doing something amazing in growing what will yet to be birthed. And it will come at the right time, and you can't force that. But it does require your involvement. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded, actually, as a friend of mine who years ago had a baby, and her baby came early, about 4 weeks early. She told me that her labour lasted a grand total of an hour and a half. An hour and a half! I wanted to say to her, you're sure it was a baby, not a torpedo? Wow! But actually, that's nature taking its course. We don't get to choose. So it is with our waiting time. That's what our liminal space involves. It involves an opportunity for learning, for growing, for feeding, for listening to God. Maggie Dawn made a statement in this that really struck me. I'm going to read it to you. She said, "There is a paradox that sums up so much of our faith. The drive to reach out, move forward, make something happen is constrained by the need to wait for the initiative of God's Spirit. We can't force the work of God, but neither can we go to sleep on the job." So I want to say to you, this is not a passive time. And waiting time is not wasted time unless you choose to go through it, ignoring the transforming work that God believes is so necessary for you to get to that next stage. It isn't comfortable. It is a place where hopes remain just hopes, where potential remains just that. It's not birthed yet, but we start to discern it. We hone old skills during this waiting time, and we discern and we discover and we develop new skills during this waiting time. This week, as God spoke, particularly on Tuesday and Thursday at Time for God, one of the things that came was about stepping out of your comfort zone. Have you put the two things together yet? Comfort zone, uncomfortable. I don't believe there's any more uncomfortable place to be than in this transition waiting period. It's a difficult place. But this is where God moves us on, grows us, moves us forward. God is active. He's working and he's speaking. And he spoke this week to us. And in it, he spoke of this reminder that he'd called us to stop what had gone before, the busyness and all the ruts and all the things that we were comfortable doing, the boxes ticking. Yes, do that. We do that as Christians, don't we? Yes, we do that. Stop. Come back and wait. He reminded us of the potential that is to come. And some of you got very excited about that, and quite rightly. He's growing that potential. He also reminded us of the need that is out there, the harvest fields. Wow. Do we ache for those harvest fields? Well, that needs to grow if we're going to be serious when we come out of the other end for whatever God has in fullness for us. But he also reminded us to take seriously the call to listen, to wait on him, so that we can achieve the potential and make the difference. This is this liminal space we are in. Well, I believe God has been speaking to us not just this week, but for the whole of the last 2 years. Our original call was to enter this threshold period, to stop the busyness. The call was the call of Gideon to three things. Stop, cut down the Asherah poles. Second, rebuild the altar. Third, rebuild, build up your army. Well, we cut the Asherah poles down. You've heard me say it before. 2 years ago, I believe we gave God his church back. We certainly gave him the building back. We certainly gave him our activity timetable back. But the church is also you, me, us the people, actually. We're the church. Have you given your part of the church back to God? The rebuilding of the altar? We tried to do that with what we set up in its place on a Tuesday and a Thursday. Time for God. Clues in the name. It's time for God. It's not our agenda where we come and we share what we want to share. It is where we give him a voice, where we see him molding us, transforming us. And boy, he's been doing that. Our time for God's 2 years ago were not what they are today, as Tuesday testified, as we heard his voice. And Thursday the same. It's a chance to do all those things. I want to tell you, I am not the minister that I was 2 years ago. I am being transformed. I spend more time reading, more time praying, more time listening and hearing than ever before. But this is not dead space. It's about growing. And God has given me more opportunities to realize some of the potential and grow the potential. To do so for me has involved getting alongside my brothers and sisters who are hurting and torn apart, and sitting with them and listening, bringing healing, transforming lives. And I believe it's preparing me for what's to come. It's the honing of skills. And the final part was rebuilding building the army. Gideon called to build the army. That's where we come to commit to allow God to equip us. That's what we're about today. This is our Covenant Sunday, which we're going to come to in a minute. Surely, we would be very arrogant to assume that we don't need to be transformed and we don't need to change to be effective in what's to come. Building the army is about listening, learning, hearing. But to do that, if you want to hear God's voice, you need to turn up. Where would Jesus' mission be if he'd said to the Lord at his baptism, "Thank you, Lord, glad you recognize me. Thank you, Father. But, you know, this 40 days in the business with the enemy, we don't want to worry about him too much. There are people who need my teaching. There are people who need healing. There are people who need devils casting out of them and demons. These are important things. We need to get on with them, don't we?" Well, actually, Jesus needed to wait. And now you know, we know, that he was fully human and fully God and a sinless God because of that. If Jesus had to wait before he got onto this crucial thing of changing lives, who are we to think we don't? Simeon was the same. Simeon waited for his God. He didn't talk to the lads and think, "You know what, it's a beautiful day. Not sure Jesus is going to come today. I think I'll have a see if the lads are about. Go and have a game of golf in Bethany. Yeah, be nice." What are you going to do in the time that we have, in this waiting time, this liminal space where God is transforming us? I want to ask you, will you commit to come and discover what has God said to us for 6 or 7 weeks in the autumn term? What's in your hands? I don't believe he's saying what might be in your hands when we come out of this. He's saying what's in your hands now. Discover it now so that he can work on it, hone it, develop it. I want to encourage you to come to our table service next week because, and they're going to freak out with this, I'm going to put the pressure on the leaders, or some of the leaders of the church, because they're going to stand up and they're going to tell you what they're discovering about what is in their hands, what God is giving them already, what he's doing. And where they are finding the mission field now, honing the skills. So we're ready when God really pushes us out. Will you be there next week? Please don't join us. That's what the Lord is inviting us to commit to. So now this is our covenant service. And I'm going to jump straight into that. I want to give you just a minute or two just to be silent. And if you will, you might want to just say a little prayer. Invite the Lord to show you what you might want to recognize. What could you do in this liminal space now so that this time is not dead time, waiting for what's around the corner, but let him do his transforming, healing, restorative work? Let me give you just a few moments to be silent as we get ready.